Delphina here, and I just want to give a huge thank you to everyone following us on our YouTube channel. Jump into the comments, give us a like and subscribe, and listen to all of our podcast episodes right along with your favorite YouTube subscriptions. You can find a link on ScreenTonesCast.com or just search for ScreenTonesCast on YouTube. Thanks, and enjoy the episode.
Hello, and welcome to Screen Tones, where we talk anything and everything webcomics. Today, we are going to be talking about types of beginnings and when to use them. I'm Ray, they, them pronouns. I do the webcomics on Empyrean High and Overlord of Ravenfell.
I'm Bob, any pronouns, and I do the webcomics Into the Smoke and Demon of the Underground.
I'm Claire, also known as Clam. My pronouns are she, her. I make the webcomic Phantomarine.
The beginning hooks for your webcomics are what are going to inspire the reader to keep reading, and there's a lot of approaches to starting out depending on the story that you're trying to tell. So, to start off, Bob, what was on your mind when writing the beginning of your comic? Have you ever revised it, or do you want to change it later? And so, tell us your story.
Well, I just recently started my second webcomic, Into the Smoke, and it kind of starts with a very, very brief flashback to 8 years ago, where the main character, who is a medium, is speaking to his mentor, and his mentor basically gives him like the three cardinal rules of being a spirit medium. And then we cut 8 years later, and immediately he's breaking all three rules at once. So that is the opening. It's, you know, it's a vertical scroll, so it's all one episode. And the reason I wanted to start that way is because it's supernatural mystery, and with fantasy genre, it can sometimes be difficult to establish stakes right up front because you need a little bit of context and world building before you really understand what matters to the story. And I'm a pretty character-driven creator, so I like to lead with something that says something about the character, has a little bit of humor to set the tone, and also sneaks in a little bit of exposition so that in a way that doesn't feel as much like exposition. So that's kind of what my mindset was when I was going into it.
Yeah, I think that's a good approach to it because you don't really want exposition to be boring. And, you know, a lot of the fantasy does go like, okay, we need to go through their daily lives. Oh no, something happens and their world is upended. So sometimes getting right into it can make things a bit more interesting. Okay, what about you, Clam?
I kind of had maybe the opposite situation where I jumped in originally too quickly. And in my mind, I thought basically like dropping people into a scene that was kind of mysterious and like, oh, what's going on here? Who are these characters? What's happening? I thought that that was going to be something that was kind of a fun initial mystery to unravel. And I think some readers liked that at the start. But what I found, and kind of what I found later as I was, I guess, analyzing how I read webcomics, is depending on how, I guess, accessible your world is and how, I guess, easily understood your characters are, you can't start too quickly sometimes. I found that because the first pass that I did of chapter one of Phantomarine was basically, it was before I'd added any sort of a prologue, and the prologue came later because I did have people be like, what's happening? I don't understand. Like, please tell me where we are. And I was like, valid. Okay, we can rewind like 5 minutes and I can explain kind of general things about like, what is the tone of the world? What rough time periods are we kind of looking at? What's the vibe, rather than just like, wham, here we are, situation, go. And yeah, initially, now I notice whenever a webcomic starts too quickly, it's so funny, like I usually kind of am like, no, let's slow down, because you got a lot of information to, I guess, initialize in the reader's mind. You have to kind of bring them into not just the world itself, but your art style and your writing style and all of these things, where I guess especially if you're working in like fantasy or sci-fi, I think you need to give people a little bit more time to just breathe and be like, okay, what am I here for? What's initially happening? Kind of what have I gotten myself into a little bit? And I think going too quickly and just kind of assuming like, yeah, people will figure it out. It can be okay, but even I find that for myself, like taking a little bit of extra time, a few more panels, pages, just to be like, here's the world, here's some breathing room to get into it. Okay, now let's go. So yeah, I started too quickly, but I think because my world needs a little bit more explanation, I think not everybody needs to be super slow. But for me, that was a benefit, slowing it down and yeah, establishing some things very clearly.
Yeah, I think in your case, because I did see it before you added the prologue, with your main character, it's kind of an ensemble. So that really helped in like fleshing out their dynamics before the inciting incident and such happened. So that was definitely a good choice, in my opinion, because you get to see a bit more of how they are in their natural habitat, so to speak, before things happen.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that's definitely one thing. For me, I'm the kind of person that thinks chronologically, which makes me want to begin my stories at the beginning, like right before the inciting incident. I know, shocking. The beginning is, but the beginning is at the beginning. Yeah. But we all know the beginning isn't always the best place to actually start the story. So I often go through my plot beats and I try to find where would be the good place to hook the audience. And I like to envision the plot as like a kind of pie or maybe a brownie. And you just slice out where you're going to have the story, because I do a lot of world building and all that. So it's like you have this history for both the characters and the world. And you just got to figure out where to start. And sometimes that's in the middle. Sometimes you start at the end or, you know, the last part. So yeah, I pretty much have to revise all my scripts before I actually start, because I often don't find the best beginning right off.
I think a lot of times it also depends on like, you discover what the hook is a little bit later in the process. Mm-hmm. Like you look at that slice that you've taken out and you're like, this is the story. I know this is the story. But to find that one spot where you're like, oh, this is what's going to make people read. And that can be at the end. It can be in the middle. Like,
can be.
It's kind of deceptive. Like, it's not always the beginning. And I know for me, I found the hook at the wrong spot.
Yeah. And that can definitely also be a lot of where the creator is interested in starting too, because mm-hmm. you know, showing that mundane normal life isn't for everyone too, because it's not interesting to draw for a lot of people, and mm-hmm. sometimes it's not interesting to write. I find it a little bit easier to write it than I do draw it personally. But that can also set me up for failure when I actually get to doing pages, if I'm not doing prose rather than comics. So, you know. Okay, so our next question is, what are your favorite examples from your work or others of engaging beginning techniques? And what kind of approaches have you seen that you find disengaging? What about you, Bob?
You know, it's actually pretty hard for me to narrow down like what I think are the best or, you know, the most engaging approaches I've seen, because there are actually so many different ways that you can do it and be engaging. I feel like it's so dependent on the genre you're writing, and also what you kind of value and want to show as a creator. Like what you guys were talking about just recently about hooks, I feel like a lot of people think that a hook has to be like a plot element that kind of, you know, sets off the story and sets things in motion. But a lot of times a hook can be, you know, the thing that makes you latch onto a character or like just a joke that is so funny that you're like, oh, well, I really like this writer's vibe and I want to see more of it. Mm-hmm. I've also, I mean, a hook can even just be really gorgeous atmospheric panels that, you know, establish that you're like a really like amazing artist and someone just wants to see more. And that's a little tricky because, you know, and a lead-in with a lot of atmospheric panels where you're not necessarily seeing something happen, it can be tricky because in a webcomic format, if you are releasing pages one at a time and nothing's quote unquote happening, then a lot of readers will lose interest. But at the same time, if you're reading all those pages in one sitting, they go by in a flash, and that's the experience that binge readers have. So a lot of times a good way to mitigate that I've seen is people just, you know, doing like a 15 page dump at the beginning where they release, you know, if they have an opening that runs a little slower, they just release more pages with their initial update. And then all of a sudden the reading experience is entirely different. So what could have been a disengaging opening with this really slow buildup where nothing is necessarily happening suddenly becomes something that sets the tone, sets the mood, and actually goes by really quickly for a reader. So I think there are a lot of different ways that an opening can be approached. Those are just some of my initial thoughts. I'm kind of curious to hear what you all have to say about that too.
All right. What about you, Claire?
Gosh, my two go-to examples are polar opposites of each other in terms of like tone and method and kind of the general feel. The first is it's a webcomic called Necropolis. It's been on hiatus for a very long time now, and I miss it dearly. But the way that it starts is actually kind of like the polar opposite of what I usually like, which is, again, like an in the beginning, there was a world, sort of like lore dump thing. But the way that it's drawn is so beautiful. Like, it's less about the information, I guess, being conveyed by the words and the fact that, like, this is an exposition dump. And it's more just like, we're bringing you into this art style and this general feeling of like, this is a world that is like, it's a world that's kind of on the borderline between the living and the dead. There's lots of mystery, magic, I guess a lot of necromancy. So you're looking at this art style and you're getting this sense of like, everything is kind of old and faded and very important and powerful. And it feels grand just from that initial page. And like, I'm not one to normally be like, oh yeah, you can start your story with like, here's the legends of the world. Like you can do that. But I think it's the way that you do it that makes it particularly interesting. Like, anybody can do it, and most of us do need to at least establish like some backstory as we go along. But I find that if you can do one thing with it that's really unique, like either, I guess, who's telling the story or what kind of art style is being used to convey it, if it's a different art style than the rest of the comic, if the tone suddenly shifts as soon as it comes out of the exposition, like, you can do so many different things with it. I think playing it straight is probably a little bit more boring, but like, sometimes you also just need to be like, hey, this is the world, this is how it works. Anyway, let's continue. But I do always think there is a way to jazz it up. So that's one example. The other one, polar opposite, I've talked about this comic on this podcast before, but it's called The Meek. And it begins with kind of this serene jungle scene. Everything is quiet and beautiful, and the art style is very painterly, and oh, it's so calm and nice. And then a girl just runs butt naked through the scene, and you're just like, what? Oh my god, like, what just happened? Like, two complete polar opposite sort of situations where one is taking itself very seriously, the other one also eventually takes itself seriously, but kind of like slaps you awake, is like, hey, wake up, this is going to be weird and different. And you're like, oh, okay, I'm here for it. So I think, kind of like Bob said, like there's a lot of different ways to start, and you can do the same thing wrong both ways. a lot of it will just depend on kind of the story surrounding it, the tone that you want to set up, and I guess even, yeah, kind of more physical elements like art style and writing style and all of these other things. So I love those two. It's just like, I love them both equally, but for completely different reasons. And yeah, I find that comics that start, again, way too quickly, like you don't even have an establishing shot. You don't know where you are. You don't know who these characters are, but there they are. I don't know anything about them. Like, I think you can get away with it sometimes, but I think taking that time, focusing on kind of why are you making this comic? What's a part of it you really want to highlight at the start? And kind of focus on that as, like, it doesn't necessarily need to be a hook for the reader, but for you, it can kind of be like, I'm bringing you into this idea of mine, and this is in my mind the best way to start it. So yeah, those are my examples.
See, I personally am a sucker for openings that make you ask questions. Personally, because I think that's a good way to garner interest and have the hook, and also it's just, it tickles my brain in a nice way, I think. So, like, a couple of comics I've read recently, there is Freer End, Beyond Journey's End, and how does it start? It starts at the end of an adventure where the main characters have already defeated the Demon King. So you have to ask the question, well, what comes after that? And that's essentially the start of the actual story. And then there's this horror manga. It actually started out as a online manga and then got published, and it's called The Summer Hikaru Died. And it actually starts out with your typical mundane life and conversation and stuff. And then one of the things I found interesting is it's actually after the inciting incident, which, spoilers, Hikaru died. The main character just turns to Hikaru and asks, "You're not really Hikaru, are you?" And this gives an immediate tone shift, and that's where the story starts, and I think it's just absolutely amazing. And probably another one that most people are probably familiar with is Madoka Magica, which starts off at the climax of the story, and you're just like, what's going on? And then it goes to the actual beginning, where the main characters are going through their mundane lives, and I think that just sets the question of, well, how does it get to what it was at the start? So that immediately sets up for intrigue, and then it goes to the mundane to show what their lives were like before. So those are the kinds of beginnings that I really like, because it gets you asking questions, wondering what's going on, and just kind of, it really helps you pull into the story.
Yeah, I really love that example, because it's one of the things that I think is super effective in long form storytelling in general, which is that element of contrast, which we kind of talked about a little bit before, just the whole, like, this is what the mundane looks like versus this is what's going on and why it's different and why you should care. And I feel like seeing characters exist in both of those contexts tells you a lot about what makes them tick and what's important to them, and you know, just really says a lot in a very simple frame. So yeah, that's also an, you know, example of an opening that I love and think is very effective.
Yeah, it's that unexpectedness, I think, because it catches the reader off balance and makes you want to know more, essentially. And that is probably one of the things that I found interesting about Claire's original opening, is it got you to ask those questions. I can see why the prologue is perhaps more effective in being added to it, but I did really like that. Well, this character is dead. How did she die? We don't know. So,
yeah, I thought initially that it would be a little bit clearer. I guess if you are making a webcomic, there are a lot of things that it's probably best to ask somebody just to be like, hey, is this clear to you? Am I losing my mind? Is this not, like, perfectly understandable? Because there are some times that, like, you think that it's perfectly clear, and then somebody's just like, actually, I have no idea what's going on. And you don't know that right off the bat. And sometimes you'll have somebody be like, oh, yes, I totally understand it. Sometimes they just won't. So I think what the prologue did for me was it opened up the world to more readers, because I think you'll have some readers that engage with, again, that mystery element, like, how did we get here? Who are these characters? You'll have some people engage with that. But I've learned far more that, like, you have those people, then you have ones that are like, ooh, pretty art. Then you have ones that are like, oh gosh, are there characters that I can see kiss someday? Like, there are all sorts. And I think you don't have to cater to everybody, but I think if your story has enough elements where you're like, I could probably convey, like, several different things with this particular opening. Like, anything that can do double, if not triple duty, I think is giving you the best chance of, like, it's not even a matter of, like, making your webcomic successful or anything. It's just opening it up to more kinds of people where you're like, if you like this, here's a little example of this. If you like that, here's a little example of that. Like, I think I had locked it off to the mystery element, which I think is still, like, the driving force of the comic. So it was not like the wrong choice necessarily, but I do think it is a better choice to, like, the new prologue still presents mysteries, but it also presents characters, and it presents an actual, like, outer view of what the world is like, rather than just like, bam, we're underwater. This girl's dead. What's going on? Like, we can see what happened to her and how she got there. Like, even just the tiniest rewind. And I'm still fond of where I started, because to me that made sense, but it doesn't make sense to everybody, and that's totally okay.
Yeah, it's like exactly who you want to be your audience can can affect that.
I also think one of the interesting things about the mystery opening is that if you have found a way to kind of establish trust with a reader base, you can kind of get away with more and leave more questions unanswered right up front. So, for example, if this isn't your first webcomic, if people have read you before and know that you can tell a story and follow through, or if you have, like, a big readership already and people are saying, oh, you got to read this webcomic, it's so good, then everyone new coming in will say, well, even if I don't understand everything right off the bat, I've been told this webcomic is good, so I'm going to trust it and give it a little bit more time. I think it's a little more challenging when it's your first. And so sometimes it helps to just take a little bit of a different approach depending on whether it is your first, whether you do have that established trust already. And the nice thing is that you can build trust pretty quickly. So once you've shown that you've followed through on some interesting plot points, you know, or just, you know, hooked the reader in some way, then a lot of times you have a little bit more leeway to take risks.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's all about establishing the trust with the reader. And some of that does come from word of mouth. Like, I know a lot of people read Unsounded and recommend it every time, but it does have a rather slow start, all things considered. The main plot isn't even really, like, all that apparent in the first chapter. So you really have to trust that the creator knows what they're doing and that your friends know what kind of story you like and so on. So
you have to trust your friends too, yeah.
I have learned that I don't trust certain friends to have the same taste as me, so that's definitely a thing.
That's fair.
So our final question is, what is your advice to someone who is trying to write or rewrite an engaging beginning that but doesn't know how to go about matching it to their story?
Well, I think there are a few things that someone can think about. One of them, I would say, is, and I think this is kind of the most important thing, is what is it that you want to say with your story, and what is it that you want your readers to care about? And whatever your beginning is, if you have that goal in mind of what do I want my readers to care about, then I think it can become a little easier to figure out what elements you want to focus on in your opening. One of the things that I kind of like to say is that an opening is as much about drawing in the readers you want as it is about pushing away the readers you don't want. My webcomic opens in a pretty gay way, and I do that on purpose because it's kind of an important element of the plot, and I would rather have people know what they're getting into up front. And for a lot of people, it's a big selling point. And then for a lot of people, you know, you don't end up with people sticking by you and then suddenly realizing, oh, this isn't what I thought it was going to be, and I hate it. So I think that in the same way, if you're having a slower kind of literary type opening, you're probably going to push away some people who want like a light and fluffy genre story. And that's a good thing because you actually maybe don't want those readers. I think the other thing, which I kind of touched on before, but I would just mention it one more time, which is that a release schedule is part of the pacing of a webcomic, and you can always tweak it to make your opening, you know, feel faster maybe than it really is. And just always consider both your weekly readers and your binge readers. And I think, you know, making sure that the experience is going to be enjoyable and intriguing and feel an appropriate pace for both types of readers is generally a good idea for webcomics.
That is a good idea. It just sets expectations, and I definitely think that opening things up in a gay way is good for a lot of us. I know that even though I was advertising one of my comics as a BL, a lot of people got really upset when the guys were kissing the guys. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. Really? Yes, it baffled me, but I guess some people don't actually read.
Oh, gosh.
And I do think that it's just setting those expectations right up front and center so they can hop as soon as possible is usually a good way to go. All right. What about you, Claire? What would you give advice to someone who's trying to write or rewrite a beginning?
I think I want to highlight the thing Bob said in terms of, like, if you're just starting a webcomic and you don't have the trust of a readership, I actually would recommend either like saving your pages and working on them just on your own. Like as soon as you finish page one, don't post it. As soon as you finish page two, don't post it. Like make kind of a mini episode just for you, because if you've never done this before, and this is what I did, and unfortunately first chapter took me 3 years, don't do that, but it worked out eventually. But what was good about it was I was able to, number one, go slowly, where I had this initial idea for a chapter one, for a first scene, where I was like, I want to draw this is how I know I want it to be. But I also wanted to give myself time to think about the world, because I had not thought about every aspect of it. And a lot of webcomics is kind of a figuring out process if you've never done it before, and if you've never written anything long form, either professionally or even just as a hobby before. Like, you're going to be kind of discovering things as you're creating it. And I find that there's a lot of webcomics, actually, I'll rephrase that. Every webcomic has some element where the creator started it at the start and then basically found something else in it that they either wanted to say or that they didn't realize, like, oh, the comic is actually saying this, or this character, I want them to actually end up like this and have it be a thematic thing. Like, giving yourself the ability to, number one, like, start slowly and please, like, let your thoughts pickle, really. Like, you'll thank yourself later. But then also giving yourself the ability to go back and kind of reinvestigate the beginning with new context of, like, you know, even if you're 30 or 40 pages in, you could have discovered something brand new about what you want to do with the story. So honestly, like, people that are afraid of going back, changing the start, adding, removing things, like, please don't be. Like, if there's any medium that allows for this kind of editing, it's webcomics. And you'll find, like, if even if you've got readers that did like the original opening, like, if you add a few pages just to add context about, you know, here's where we are, here's more information about this character, like, I don't think people are going to generally complain, because they usually are just getting stuff that they already know, but more so they know, like, okay, now people that don't think exactly like I do, they're going to be getting this information, and then we can still talk about the webcomic. Like, you're opening it up to a new kind of audience, and you're also solidifying it for yourself. So I guess leaning into that sense of discovery writing, or drawing, as it were, like, that's something that really helped me. And I knew it was going to happen anyway as I went along, just because, I don't know, I don't have everything figured out from the start. I have the basic big things, but not everything. So allow yourself the ability to figure out what you're making later in the process. And I think going into it knowing that you don't have to start out perfectly is freeing. And there's nothing wrong with going back and basically just making it more of what you meant it to be. I think that's the best way of doing anything this long form and this kind of mysterious. So let the process guide you. That's my advice.
I do think that's a good point, is a lot of us are still evolving, especially since webcomics take such a long time. So we have to essentially adapt to that. And maybe what was initially a good beginning for your comic when you started is no longer so 5 years down the line. You have different themes that you're exploring, so you can just go and pop in a few pages in the beginning to recontextualize that your comic, what your comic is, essentially. Now, for me, I think my advice is you need to be excited about your beginning. I've seen so many beginning creators go, oh, I just have to get past this boring part before mm-hmm. the real stuff in my comic starts. It's like, no, you don't. Start where you think is best for you to start. If that's in the middle of a battle and everyone is dying and everything, that's going to get you excited, but that might also get the reader excited. You can always do a flashback to potentially ground the readers where they are if you want, even like 5 minutes after the battle ends or whatever. But you really need to be interested in what is happening, because usually often the reader can actually tell if you're just phoning it in.
That is so true. And it's actually like a really important point that I, you know, hadn't really considered, which is, it's crazy that I hadn't considered it, but like the first person you have to hook is yourself, essentially, because you're in it for the long haul. And if you can't stick with it, it's hard to ask anyone else to. And you know, so much of webcomics is run on just how much passion do you have for this? How much do you love it? And that's what gets you through to the next section. So yeah, 100%.
I think there is kind of a check that does need to happen in a case like that, because I do see some people start with just a character, but it's a character that they're really excited about, but either like they've had this character for a long time, or like they think this character is just like the coolest thing ever, and like, here he is, my Blorbo. But the audience might not know what's going on, like, with him, or I guess anything about his story. Like, you, I think as an author, you do have to like step back and say, okay, I want to start with this really cool thing. And I think that's extremely important too, because the reader can feel how excited you are about drawing or writing this particular thing. But I think there does need to be a little bit of a check of like, okay, does this make sense? Or am I just really excited about it? Like, I know I had that problem with stories that I was writing as like a teenager, where I couldn't really step outside of myself to be like, okay, if I were just some other person on the street, would I be able to understand what's going on? Is there enough context of like, this is why this matters, or like all these sorts of things, where I would not want it to like bog down the process at all. But I do think there are some people that do start just with the thing that they think is coolest or most visually appealing, but they need to, I guess, consider maybe a sense of like accessibility, where like, if you were not you, what would you think is happening here? And that's I think where you can get good things out of like critique, or even just like running the first three pages by a family member, just being like, do you understand what's happening here? Even if it's not for you, do you understand it? And I think the understanding part is a big part of it. So excitement plus clarity, that's a good opening.
Yeah, I definitely do think that it needs to be revealing in some way. You have to reveal something about the character, something about the world. There has to be some sort of grounding aspect to a beginning, because otherwise the reader will just be confused and lost. Which, I mean, while sometimes that is necessary for a story, especially depending on the genre, it does have to have some point where the reader can kind of rest and think about things with the information that they are gradually getting. So I definitely do think in this case an outside opinion does very much help, having better readers or a community or critique and whatever. But yeah, but it is, the main thing is you do have to be excited. If you see that it's a mess later, just go back and clean it up a little bit while where no one's looking.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that the difference between a comic you write for yourself and a comic you write to share with others is always just, you should be excited in either case. It's just when you're sharing it with others, it's a matter of communication. It's like, how do I actually communicate to the reader that they should be excited too? And if you're able to do both things, I think it's the best of both worlds.
All right. Well, I think that is a goat cheese and roasted red pepper wrap. Thank you so much for listening. I've been your host, Ray, and you can check out my work at empyreancomic.com or Overlord of Ravenfell on Webtoon.
And I've been Bob, and you can find me at intothesmokecomic.com and demonoftheunderground.com.
And I've been Claire Clam. You can find my work at phantommarine.com.
All right. I would say that is a good end on beginnings.
I like that. That's good.
I like that too.
All right.
Thank you for listening to Screen Tones, a webcomic podcast. You can find all our episodes at screentonescast.com. We've got a couple links over there to our Ko-fi and merch shop, where your support will help us create more episodes and keep us talking about anything and everything webcomics. You can also find us on YouTube, Blue Sky, Tumblr, and our Discord server. Thank you so much for listening, sharing, rating, and supporting, and we'll see you next time.